ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಅಂಟಿಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ದ 21st ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತ. ಸೊ ನಾವು ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ 22nd ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ದಿಸ್ 22nd ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ರಾಧರ್ ಕಾನ್ಫಿಡೆನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಟೀಲಿಂಗ್ ದ ಗಾರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್. ನಾವು ದಿಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಪಾಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ aware of the fact that Krishna Supreme Personality, and these are his pastimes, these are his activities. The way the Lord acts is always wonderful. In whichever way Krishna acts is simply to give pleasure to his devotees and enjoy his pleasure to himself. And this pastime is Krishna stealing the garments of the Guru. But here we have to remember one thing, that this pastime took place before Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. How old Krishna was when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill? How many of you know? How old was Krishna? Okay, he was 7 years old. So this pastime took place even before that. So that means Krishna was less than 7 years old at that time. And all these gopis are younger to Krishna. Of almost the same age, just a few days and some were a few months young. So these gopis were also 5-6 year old girls. But it's a custom in India that the girls, from their early days, they learn to worship Lord Shiva or Parvati in order to get a good husband. In the Vedic culture, a woman's life is centered around her husband. In the Vedic culture, the daughter is not considered to be the father's property. In the Vedic culture, the father is only the custodian of the daughter. And the daughter is the husband's property. So the understanding is that the father takes care of the daughter to hand her over to her rightful proprietor, her husband, in due course of time. Therefore, the girls from their early days, from their early age, they learn to dedicate themselves to their husbands. And from their childhood, actually, they learn to dedicate themselves to their husband. First, by worshipping Lord Shiva or Parvati, Durga Devi. Another name of Durga Devi is Katyayani Devi. So these young girls, they perform Katyayani Puja, they worship Durga Devi in the month of Hemanta. Hemanta is a season which comes right after Sharad. It is Indian autumn. Just before winter. And at that time the weather becomes little cold. So they perform austerities by fasting and eating only boiled rice and boiled moong dal, which is called habishanda, without any spice and salt. No spice, no ghee, and just boiled rice with boiled dal, rice and dal boiled together without salt. So they perform this austerity for 1 month, and for this 1 month they perform Katyayani Puja, Durga Puja, worshipping Durga Mata. And what was the purpose of their worship? They wanted to have a suitable husband. They prayed to Durga Devi for a suitable husband. And at the heart of their hearts, who they wanted as their husband? All the gopis wanted Krishna to be their husband. This they kept as a secret in their heart. They didn't tell anybody who they are actually desiring to have their husband, but they actually wanted to have Krishna as their husband. So then, in the one day after worshipping Katyayani Devi, then they went to bathe in Jamuna. And so they kept their garments on the bank of the river and they entered into the water. Krishna was tending his cows, so he told his cow boyfriend that I'm just going to come back soon. So you all take care of the cows. And Krishna went to Jamuna, and while the girls were bathing, Krishna took their clothes and climbed up a kadamba tree and hung all their clothes from the branches of the tree. And all of a sudden, and then Krishna started to play his flute, and all the girls saw that Krishna is on the tree, and all their garments were there, and they were very upset, they were embarrassed, and they were angry. Prabhupada said that their anger was just a display of anger. They were not actually angry, because at the heart of their heart, they all were very pleased. And in this way, Krishna performed the pastime, and Krishna told them that you have caused a great disrespect to Varundev by entering into water naked. So you come and offer your prayers to Varundev to appease him, and you come one by one and I'll give you the garments. Although Krishna asked them to worship Varundev, but what did they do? They simply worship Krishna. So this is the qualification or attitude of a pure devotee of the Lord. Even though they are told to worship different demigods, they simply worship Krishna. They don't want to worship anyone but Krishna. So in this way, Krishna actually displayed that he fulfilled their desires. All these gopis, young girls, unmarried girls, wanted to have Krishna as their husband. And through this pastime, Krishna actually showed that he did accept them as his wives. Because that young woman goes only to her husband naked. Then one day Krishna was tending the cows, not the cows as yet, their calves that they were tending. Because Krishna is only about 6 years old at that time. At that age, from 5 to about 10 years, the boys just take care of the calves. So Krishna just was taking care of the calves along with his friends. And once the boys, so one afternoon, late morning, the boys were feeling very hungry, and they said, Krishna, we are feeling so hungry, we want to eat something. Krishna said, okay, you see, in a nearby village, the exalted brahmanas are performing angirasa yagya, a sacrifice. So you go and tell them that we are here and we need some food to eat. So they should offer us some food. And Krishna said, actually, these brahmanas are very caste conscious. So I am a Vaishya. So they may not be so impressed with me, but you tell Balaram wants the food. Because Balaram is a Kshatriya, Balaram is the son of Vasudev, who was a Kshatriya. So you tell them, in Balaram's name you ask for the food. Because if you ask in my name, they may not be impressed. But Balaram, since he is a Kshatriya, probably they will be more willing. So all the cowherd boys went and told the brahmanas who were performing the yajna that Krishna and Balaram are nearby and they want some food to eat. So will you please give us some food? Now through this, they are actually enacting, through these pastimes, Krishna is teaching us one lesson. All these sacrifices are meant for who? All these sacrifices are meant for Krishna's pleasure. Now if Krishna says, I want some portion of the sacrifice, then a person should be more pleased. They should be more delighted. Oh, Krishna directly is asking for that. That's what Narada Muni actually told about Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajashriya Yajna. That when Yudhishthira Maharaj performed the Rajashriya Yajna, Krishna was personally present there. And not only Krishna was personally present, Krishna was participating in that yajna. And what service Krishna took in the yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajashriya Yajna? Krishna was, took the responsibility to wash the feet of the brahmanas. He himself took that responsibility. So that's why Narada Muni was saying that this is the most perfect yajna that has ever been executed, that has ever been conducted. Because Krishna himself, for whom is this yajna, for whose pleasure is this yajna, he himself is present and he is participating in this yajna in this way. So through this brahmanas, they are performing the yajna and Krishna himself is wanting a part of their sacrifice offering, sacrificial offering. But what did the brahmanas say? You little boys, don't create any disturbance in our yajna. Go out of here. The yajna hasn't been completed. Before that, you don't ask for anything from the yajna. Let the yajna be perfectly completed and then you'll get some prasad. But now you get out of here. The boys got very sad. They came back to Krishna and Balaram and told that. At that time, Balaram became very upset. Balaram said, I'll go and forcibly take away them, all the foodstuffs that they have. But Krishna said, no. After all, brahmanas are exalted people. Then the Lord actually accepts the offerings through the mouth of the brahmanas, and it is the brahmanas who are the representative of the Lord on the planet. So don't get upset with them. Let them be. So then Krishna told the cowherd boy, okay, the brahmanas did not give you the food. Go to the brahmanas' wives and you tell them the same thing, that Krishna and Balaram are here with their friends and they are feeling hungry. So will you please give them some food? So the boys went to the brahmanas' wives and told them. And as soon as the brahmanas' wives heard that Krishna and Balaram were there, they immediately left everything and said, Krishna and Balaram are here, so let's go. And they took all of the foodstuffs with them. And the brahmanas tried to stop them. Where are you going? The yajna hasn't been completed. And they said, to hell with your yajna. We are going to meet with Krishna and Balaram. So then they came with all the food and fed Krishna and his friends. And when they came, Krishna actually told them, no, you haven't done the right thing. Your husband will get upset. But these girls were not at all concerned, these women, Brahmanas' wives. They said, we don't care. Krishna, the ultimate goal of life is to get the shelter of your lotus feet. And everything else is insignificant. Everything else is meaningless. My husband, our husband, we have so many husbands in so many lifetimes. Where are they? We don't even remember those, about those husbands. And in our next life also we don't remember these husbands. So why worry about these husbands? But your lotus feet is the ultimate shelter. And besides that, the way we left them, probably our husbands and our family members will not take us back. Then Krishna said, no, no. They all will realize their mistake and they all will be repentant about their wrong action. So you go back. And true to Krishna's words, when the wives of the brahmanas came back and all the brahmanas, they were very repentant, they said, you all are so fortunate. We have become so arrogant and so proud that our actual understanding became blurred. Our vision became obscure and we couldn't understand that Krishna is the goal of all the Vedas. We are simply caught up with the Vedic rituals, the ritualistic activities, forgetting the ultimate purpose, ultimate goal of those activities, which is to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality. So this way the brahmanas recognize their mistake and they glorified their wives for their good fortune. So this pastime was very, very significant for all of us, that we remember the fact, we always recognize the fact that the ultimate goal of all our activities is to please Krishna. And we should never be sidetracked with the rituals. And the ultimate, Rupa Goswami said, what is the ultimate consideration? The ultimate consideration is to always remember Krishna and never forget Him. That is the final instruction. That is the ultimate goal. Always remember Krishna and never forget Him. One day, Krishna noticed that Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd people were very busy. From the morning they were all working so hard, making all kinds of arrangements. The ladies were preparing so many different preparations and the men were arranging, they were decorating the places and bringing flowers and making bouquets and garlands and putting festoons and flags and planting banana trees and making chains of mango leaves. So they were decorating all the place and making all kinds of arrangements and bringing in tons of foodstuff and other paraphernalia for worship. So Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj was so busy. So Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj, Father, what are you doing today? Why are you so busy? Nanda Maharaj often got into anxiety that once Krishna starts to ask something, there will be 1001 questions coming along with that. And he felt that once this boy starts, he is not going to stop. So Nanda Maharaj tried to avoid answering Krishna. So Krishna ran after Nanda Maharaj. Said, Father, why aren't you telling me? What are you doing? I am asking a simple question. Why didn't you tell me? So Nanda Maharaj just hastily replied, Well, we are making arrangement for Indra Puja, worshipping of Indra. So Krishna asked, why do you want to worship Indra? Nanda Maharaj thought, now he started. So Nanda Maharaj again quickly answered that because Indra gives us rain. Krishna asked, does Indra give rain because you worship Indra? Nanda Maharaj said, yes. Then Krishna said, well, in the middle of the ocean, nobody worships Indra, and nor does the ocean need any water. Then still why it rains in the middle of the ocean? So Nanda Maharaj got stuck. So Nanda Maharaj stopped and said, look, Krishna, I don't know why it rains in the middle of the ocean, but one thing I know is that we need rain because we are Vaishyas. We take care of cows, we tame cows, and for the cows we need green grass and we need other vegetation for cultivation of our land. And for that, rain is absolutely essential. And that is why we worship Indra. So Krishna asked, is worshipping Indra for rain, is it a Vedic consideration or it is a customary consideration? So Nanda Maharaj began to think. He could remember any instruction in Vedas that says that in order to get rain, one should worship Indra. So Nanda Maharaj replied, it is our traditional custom. For generations we are doing that. So then Krishna said, look, we need to take care of the cows. And for the sake of the cows, we don't have to be indebted to Indra. Our cows are actually being maintained by Govardhan. Because we graze the cows on the hills of Govardhan, on the valley of Govardhan, and the green grass that grows there, they bake. Eating those grass, they become healthy and strong and they give such beautiful milk. And besides that, when the cows are thirsty, they get water from the fountains, from Govardhan. And we, the cowherd boys, we play in the caves of Govardhan. We decorate our bodies with the dust of Govardhan, colored dust of Govardhan. In this way, Krishna started to glorify Govardhan. And Krishna said, so instead of worshipping Indra, let us use all these articles for worshipping Govardhan. And although Krishna was only 7 years old at that time, Nanda Maharaj always used to listen to Krishna. Whatever Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj just would listen. So Nanda Maharaj said, okay, if Krishna wants Govardhan to be worshipped, we will do that. Let's go and worship him. So they took all the paraphernalia and articles that were meant for worshipping Indra. They went to Govardhan and offered them to him. And in Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami gives a very vivid description of how they worship Govardhan. They had tons of chapatis. So first they put the chapatis, layers after layers of chapatis. Then they place the parathas on top. Then on top of that they put the puris. And on top of that they put the rice and preparations made from rice. And then they put the sabjis and pakoras and all the other stuffs and sweets, they put on the that mountain of bhoga. So it actually became a mountain of food. And then everyone saw that Govardhan, which is actually a mountain, it assumed a form which is identical to Krishna's form. But this form was very tall,
very big.
Like the height of Govardhan was touching the sky. And this form is also as high as his head was almost touching the sky. And he was taking the food, and with his large big hand he was taking a big amount of food and putting in his mouth. And they all saw, to their great surprise, that when he would take the food with his hand, the food will become replenished. He was taking the food, eating the food, but the food will become filled up again. Oh, I forgot to mention one thing. I mentioned about the mountain of foodstuff. And then there was a fountain in that mountain flowing. What was flowing? No, it was ghee that was flowing from that mountain and smearing all the food with soaked in ghee. And Govardhan was one Krishna as Govardhan, he was eating the food, and there is another little Krishna, 7 years old, he was just standing there and he was watching this other Krishna eating the food. So then after feeding Govardhan, they all served the food to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and then they ate the food. And then they offered the remnants to the needy people there. And then after feeding everybody, they took the cows in front and they circumambulated Govardhan. In the meantime, the news reached Indra that the residents of Vrindavan, instead of worshipping Indra, they are worshipping Govardhan, the mountain. So Indra became very angry. He said, okay, I will teach this foolish Brijvasis a lesson. So Krishna, Indra called Samvarta the cloud. That is the cloud of destruction. At the time of annihilation, this cloud actually pours rain that inundates the whole universe. So this cloud actually came, Indra called, and along with thunder, he instructed, go and destroy Vrindavan. So the Brajvasis all of a sudden noticed that from the northeast corner, at a great speed, the dark cloud was rushing in, and along with that came the storm and thunder. So they all became very worried, and it started to grow more, torrents of rain. So they all went to Krishna and said, Krishna, Krishna, please protect us. Now it seems that Indra became very angry with us, and he is trying to cause us harm. So then Krishna said, don't worry, I will take care of you. Saying that, Krishna just lifted Govardhan Hill with his two hands. Then he placed Govardhan on the little finger of his left hand, and he held that hill as an umbrella. And he told everyone to go under the hill. Because of uprooting Govardhan, they found that a cavity was created. And this is also in Gopal Champu. Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very vivid description that when the cowherd people came, they found that there were stairs and ramps leading to that cavity that was created due to the lifting of coal. So they took their cows and the animals, domestic animals, and with all the family members, the cowherd people went under Govardhan Hill. which Krishna was holding like an umbrella. And this way, the entire Vrindavan came under Govardhan. And when they went inside the Govardhan, at the base of Govardhan, they found there were, that's a beautiful hall. It was, the floors were made of the most wonderful marbles. And the walls were fine with onyx, ornate onyx. And there were brilliant gems that were giving out lights. And on top of everything, that place was filled with most delicious foodstuff. So the residents of Vrindavan had a wonderful time. For 7 days they stayed under that umbrella of Govardhan, which Krishna was holding. And in the meantime, Indra got the report that in Vrindavan, lightning came and carried the report to Indra that in Vrindavan, not a single soul is alive. There is nobody in Vrindavan. It has become completely empty. Everyone has been destroyed. So Indra became very pleased to hear that. But then, wind carried the message that no. The Govardhan hill, after eating all the prasad, became so strong that it went up in the sky and it is floating on the sky, and all the residents of Vrindavan came under the Govardhan. Which is acting there as an umbrella for them. So Indra considered mountain flying. There was only one mountain that used to fly, but I cut its wings. That is Mainak mountain. There was a mountain that used to fly. And the mountain used to fly and let it land at different places, and as a result of that, many people would die. So they all approached Indra for some solution. So Indra actually cut the wings of Maina so that it couldn't fly. So he wondered, is it this Maina that has grown its wings again and started to fly in the sky? So Indra cut the wings of Maina with Vajra, thunder. So he said, he told thunder, just incessantly fall upon this mountain and destroy it, break it into pieces. So Vajra went and started to incessantly shower its bolts in Govardhan. But because Krishna was holding it, nothing happened to Govardhan. So then Indra became worried, what is happening? 7 days. For 7 days, such torrents of rain with hailstorm and wind and thunderbolt, and nothing is happening. Who is this boy? Then Krishna wondered, then Indra wondered, is this my Lord and Master Narayan playing as a childhood, as a cowherd boy? So then he went and asked Brihaspati, his guru, who is this boy? So Brihaspati said, don't you know? This is Krishna. He is Narayan himself. So Indra became very afraid that now he has offended his Lord and Master. So he asked Brihaspati, what shall I do now? So Brihaspati said that Surabhi is very dear to Krishna. Yes, Krishna is angry with you and you are in trouble. No doubt about that. So don't go to Krishna now. So take Surabhi and you go hiding behind Surabhi's tail. And then when Krishna sees Surabhi, Krishna will become, his anger will subside. And then you can offer your prayer and beg for him. So, Indra, according to the instruction of Brihaspati Devaguru, he came and offered his prayer to Krishna and begged forgiveness. Indra was very, very humble. He became very humble. He said, "My Lord, due to my arrogant nature, often I consider myself to be the greatest, and as a result of that I forget your exalted position, your transcendental situation. So please, my Lord, allow me to always remember you and never to forget you." He said, "I am only an insignificant Indra. But due to the illusory energy of yours, I tend to think that I am so great." So in this way, Indra prayed to Krishna and Krishna forgave Indra. And then Indra took the water from celestial Ganges, Mandakini, and with the milk of Surabhi, he bathed Krishna. He did the Abhishek of Krishna. So after these pastimes, the residents of Vrindavan became very surprised. They started to tell Nanda Maharaj that this Krishna, who is he? Your son is so special that this little boy lifted Govardhan Hill, one entire mountain, and kept it holding on his left hand for 7 days, and he did not even waver for a moment. And all these 7 days he didn't eat anything, he didn't sleep. So who is this boy? At that time, Nanda Maharaj told him that when Garga Muni came to give Krishna his name, in his name giving ceremony, Garga Muni actually told that this boy appears in 3 other yugas, assuming 3 other complexions. In Satya Yuga, he comes in his white complexion. In Treta Yuga, he comes in reddish complexion. And in Kali Yuga, he comes in his molten golden complexion. And now he has assumed the dark complexion, the color that is like that of monsoon cloud. And this personality comes to establish dharma. Whenever there is such disturbance in the human society, this personality actually establishes the law and order by annihilating the demons and give protecting his devotees. So in this way, Nanda Maharaj started to describe Krishna's qualities. And also, they described one quality, that this boy always gives protections to whoever surrenders unto him. And whoever takes his shelter, he will never lose. He will never be defeated. So in this way, Nanda Maharaj started to explain who Krishna actually is. Who has these qualities? Only the Supreme Personality of God can have these qualities. Nanda Maharaj started to describe her son's qualities as it has been described by Garga Muni. But these qualities are actually the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how everybody could recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So I briefly covered more or less up to 27th chapter, and I will also tell some pastimes of Krishna. You see, I am just giving a chronological or chapter wise description in Srimad Bhagavatam as it has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. But some other Puranas like Harivamsa, Padma Puran, Vishnu Puran give some detailed descriptions of Krishna's pastime, and some of the pastimes also have been described by the Goswamis in books like Gopal Champu. Some wonderful childhood pastimes are: one day Madhu Mangal, who is actually a Brahmana, he is the son of Sandipani Muni. So Madhu Mangal, along with his grandmother — who is Madhu Mangal's grandmother? Madhu Mangal's grandmother is Purnamasi. When Madhu Mangal was a little boy, Purnamasi used to live in Sandipani Muni's house before, which is in Avantipur, today's Ujjain. So there is Sandipani Muni's ashram. But before Krishna appeared, Purnamasi came to Vrindavan just to be there during Krishna's pastimes. So Madhu Mangal is the son of Sandipani Muni, therefore he is a Brahmana. So one day Madhu Mangal told Krishna that, "Krishna, you see, I am a Brahmana, so you should offer some respect to me." So Krishna said, "Yes, you are a Brahmana, but actually the real quality of a person is recognized by his activities, not by his birth. And you see, I may be whoever I am, but look at my activities. So from my activities you try to judge me." So Madhu Mangal said, "What are these special activities you are talking about?" Krishna says, "See, my greatness is in my actions. See what I have done. When I was a little baby, I killed Putana. Then I killed Kaliya, I subdued Kaliya. I lifted Govardhan." So Madhu Mangal said, "See, Krishna, there should be some limits to one's arrogance. You are so puffed up, always you are just singing your own glory, trying to establish that you are the greatest. You are taking the credit for killing Putana, but everybody knows that the children and elderly people are protected by the demigods. So when Putana came, your 70-year-old baby, what could you do? So the demigods actually took care of Putana. And you are talking about lifting of Govardhan Hill. It was Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd people, they were propping it up with sticks and their hands. And you want to take the credit just yourself, without giving any credit to anybody else. You are saying that you lifted the Govardhan Hill, you held it for 7 days. And as far as Kaliya is concerned, everybody saw that you are dead in Kaliya's court. And at that time, seeing your situation and seeing the condition of the cowherd people of Vrindavan, I became so touched, I became so overwhelmed with emotion and compassion. I decided to do something. And that's the time I started to chant the Sarpanidhan mantra, the mantra that would kill the sarpa. And because I started to chant this Sarpanidhan mantra, Kaliya became afraid and let you go. And then you jump up on Kaliya's head and start to dance as if you have subdued Kaliya. So Krishna says, oh, I see. So please accept my humble obeisance. So this is how Krishna plays his pastimes with his childhood friends in Vrindavan. Another very sweet pastime is Krishna, one of the pastimes Krishna used to be very fond of is go and steal butter from the houses of the gopis. So Krishna used to go in the afternoon and go into the house, not afternoon, late morning, into the house of the gopis and steal butter. He would climb up on the back of one of the cowherd boys, and these were two, three boys who would actually climb up one on top of other and then get the pots of butter and eat the butter, all the boys, and then they would offer the butter to the monkeys. And when the monkeys won't even take that butter because they were so full from butter, Krishna would say that, look, this butter is so bad that even the monkeys don't want to eat it, saying that Krishna would break the pots. And then Krishna would pass urine, and he would pinch the cowherd boy, the son or little son of the gopi. And when the child would wake up screaming, crying, then Krishna would run out of the house. So this gopi went and complained to Mother Yashoda. One gopi went and complained to Mother Yashoda. But Mother Yashoda couldn't understand how is it possible, because the whole morning she remembered that Krishna was just sitting there when she was taking care of the household affair. So she said, look, Krishna was with me all the time. How can you say that Krishna went and stole the butter? Then the gopi said, oh, you don't believe us. So you think that we are lying? Or do you think that it is my son who was stealing the butter? Mother Yashoda said, maybe, I don't know. The only thing I know is that Krishna was always with me. So I don't know how you can say that Krishna stole the butter. So one of the gopis said, okay, fine. Next time Krishna, we will catch him and we'll bring him to you, and then you probably believe that Krishna steals the butter. And what we are complaining is true. So Mother Yashoda said, yeah, please do that. Next time you catch Krishna and bring him to me. So the gopi was waiting, and Krishna came with his friends, stole the butter, ate the butter, fed the butter to the monkeys, broke the pots, pinched the child, woke him up, and as he was running out of the house, the gopi just caught Krishna. They've come. Now I caught him. Krishna says, please let me go, please let me go. I promise I'll never come to steal any house. The gopi says, nothing doing. Your mother, although I told her so much that you are doing all this, but she wouldn't believe me, so now I will go and show her. I caught you red-handed, and this is what your mother needed to see. So Krishna, she took Krishna on her back, and she was walking towards Mother Yashoda, and she could hear Krishna crying and saying, please let me go. My mother will be very upset with me. She will beat me up, or she will tie me down with a mortar. But the gopi was undaunted.
she just determined to take it.
So she came to Mother Yashoda and said, Mother Yashoda, I told you what your Krishna does, and today I caught him red-handed, and see. And Mother Yashoda started to laugh. So said that, I caught your son red-handed, I brought him to you, and you are laughing as if nothing happened. Then Mother Yashoda said, why don't you see who you brought? And the gopi looked up and saw it was her own son that she was carrying on her back. So she became completely flabbergasted. How is it possible? She could vividly remember that Krishna, she caught Krishna. Krishna was appealing to her that please let me go, please let me go. My mother will get angry. And this sound is still ringing in her ears. And while she was carrying Krishna to the Mother Yashoda on her back, she could hear Krishna's voice. But now she's seeing that she brought her own son. How is it possible? So she got completely flabbergasted. She felt extremely embarrassed and she started to walk back to the house with a heavy heart and with the boy in the back, on her back. Then all of a sudden she heard Krishna laughing, the sound of Krishna's laughter. And she looked up and saw it is Krishna. She just put the boy on the ground and said, Krishna, you are such a character. I caught you, you did, and you assumed the form of my son and embarrassed me to your mother in such a way. Krishna said, this time I became your son. Next time you catch me and take me to my mother, I will become your husband. So in this way, Krishna, through his wonderful pastimes, iti driksha lilabhi ananda kunde shabhosham nimajjantam akhapayanta. Krishna submerges his devotees in an ocean of ecstasy. So that is why when one becomes properly exposed to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, he cannot maintain any more interest or attachment to anything else. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
Krishna?
Oh yeah, there were some questions from the morning. I'll just... Yeah, the question is, how are Krishna's pastimes different in the Dwapar Yugas of the other Chatur Yugas except the 28th one, when he does not come as Brajendra Nandan Krishna? These other pastimes, in other Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes as Yugavatar and he establishes the Yuga Dharma of deity worship. And there is no Braja Leela, Vrindavan pastimes, with the Brajavasis. That is the difference. Those pastimes are just Krishna's pastimes, who comes as Yugavatar, as the personality to establish the Yuga Dharma. Now the details of the pastimes I do not know, because they are not described in these Yuga's scriptures. In this Yuga scripture, Dapar Yuga, Dapar Leela are only Krishna's pastimes. Why we keep fast on Janmashtami festival?
custom is to celebrate the auspicious occasion, devotees stop all other activities to always remember Krishna and be engaged in serving Krishna. Therefore, they don't have any time for even eating. And besides that, by fasting, one's consciousness becomes purified. So on these auspicious days, Madhava Tithis, the custom is to be completely absorbed in Krishna and not indulge in any activities that can increase our material attachments. So, next question, if love not exists in the material world among human beings, how human being can realize the spiritual love? Love is energy also for human being for to love Krishna. Am I wrong? Kindly forgive me if I am wrong. This is okay. The thing is that love in the material nature, everything is a perverted reflection. Perverted reflection means it is there, but it is reflected in an upside down way, perverted way. So originally, love is meant only for Krishna. As I said, it is an energy that unites a soul with the Supreme Personality of God. But when a living entity is forgetful of Krishna, then it is reflected in the material nature in the form of attraction for other individuals or objects. It's meant to be offered to Krishna, but now it is being offered to somebody else other than Krishna. And what is the purpose? The purpose is to have the gratification of our senses, pleasure of the senses. So that is the difference. Therefore, to experience the real love, we have to develop our Krishna consciousness. That means we have to recognize that Krishna is the only object of love. Balaram is treated as Guru Tatya. As per Vedic scriptures, the Guru Parampara starts from Lord Krishna. This is also said that Srimati Radharani is Guru of Lord Krishna. Then who is the first Guru, Radharani or Sri Krishna or Balaram? One aspect of Guru is the super soul in the heart, Paramatma. And another aspect of Guru is the external manifestation of that super soul in the heart in the form of the present, the Guru, Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. But the tattva of Guru is that one who takes a living entity to Krishna. Now Balaram is actually the source of all living entities. Therefore, it is Balaram who actually directs all the living entities towards Krishna. Therefore, Balaram is the Guru tattva and the original Guru. But as super soul, Krishna is, and the super soul also is an expansion of Balaram, or which is an expansion of Balaram's expansion, the Chiradakshai Vishnu. Anyway, so this way the original Guru Tattva is Balaram. Adi Guru is Krishna. because he gave the knowledge to Brahma. The Chaitanya Guru is the super soul in the heart. And Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru are the immediate gurus. The question from online, how is it possible that gopis did not realize mysticism of Krishna? I hope I understood your question. This question is coming from online, from a devotee called Jayanta in England. The arrangement of Krishna's pastimes is made by Jogamaya. Jogamaya is like the director who is organizing the play of Krishna's pastime. She is the casting director, she is the script writer, and in this way she is making all the arrangements. She is casting the personalities who play different roles. She is making all the arrangements, she is giving them the scripts and making them play the roles. And everybody in Krishna's pastime, by the arrangement of Jogamaya, play their role in the most perfect way. And as a result of that, the participants do not remember or do not recognize Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Vrindavan pastime. The residents of Vrindavan are the participants of Krishna's Vrindavan pastime, just being bewildered by the Jogamaya's arrangement, forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. And as I mentioned yesterday, that if they remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they could not develop these three relationships with him in the form of friendship, parental and conjugal. So Krishna's mysticism, probably you meant that Krishna's inconceivable potency to do whatever he wants to do. Whatever Krishna wants, he can just make it. But they do not recognize Krishna's position as the supreme controller and the supreme powerful personality of Godhead. But they simply become amazed just to see the way Krishna is acting. Next question is, I heard in Golok Vrindavan, Govardhan is Shatashringa Parvat. Then how he is non-different from Krishna? Govardhan in Golok Vrindavan also is just Govardhan. And this Govardhan is the best devotee of Krishna and he is non-different from Krishna. So that is how Govardhan has been described. What is the difference between Govardhan Shila and Shalagram Shila? Are they same? No. Govardhan is a piece. Govardhan Shila is a representative of Govardhan that comes from Govardhan Mountain. And Shalagram Shila is found in Gandaki River, who is the representation of Narayan. Whereas Govardhan Shila is a personification of Govardhan himself. Anyway, this question is full of spelling mistakes and structural mistakes, and the presentation also is a mistake. Anyway, I'll read it. If anyone initiated spelling mistake from ISKCON and all rules followed, but his activity is worst, is he Vaishnava? The answer will be, don't try to judge a Vaishnava. Don't try to find fault with a Vaishnava. If you are so expert in finding fault, find fault with yourself.
And if anybody tells anything regarding his activity, it will be Vaishnava Aparad. Yes, be very careful of Vaishnava. Don't try to find fault with Vaishnava, rather try to become the humble servant and servant of the Vaishnava. You become humble. You become a Vaishnava. At least you can make yourself a Vaishnava. Instead of trying to make the whole world Vaishnava yourself, you try to, instead of trying to correct everybody else in the world, you try to correct yourself first. That will be the easier and more appropriate thing. And I don't understand what is the relevance of this question, what is the relationship with this question in the class. Don't come up with questions that are not relevant to the class. Where do the devotees of Lord Jagannath go? Another, I don't know, like this English, where did you learn? Full of mistakes, grammatical, and where does the devotees of Lord Jagannath goes? In Golok or in Vaikuntha? It will depend upon one's attachment to Jagannath. If one is seeing Lord Jagannath, actually Lord Jagannath's place is Purushottam Kshetra. This Purushottam Kshetra is a place between Vaikuntha and Golok. It is Golok as well as Vaikuntha, Dwarka as well as Vrindavan. Next question is from Divisha. Divisha is a little girl who is just sitting here. All the gopis wanted Krishna as their husband. Does Radharani also want Krishna as her husband? Yes. She is the first one who wants Krishna as her husband. And she is Krishna's principal wife. Okay. Now, who do you want to have your husband as your husband? I'm sure you will want Krishna to be. So, there's some questions from online again. Online means they're being telecasted and from different countries they're watching and they're. One question from Belgium. What pious activities did Kaliya serpent perform to get Krishna's lotus feet on his head? The answer is that by any means you become related to Krishna will bring you auspicious. But generally it is better to be related to Krishna in a favorable way. Not in an unfavorable way. Vaidibhav means inimical. So even though they develop inimical attitude towards Krishna, but still then they receive Krishna's benefit, just as Putana did. And similarly, Kaliya also, although approached Krishna in an inimical way, but being subdued by Krishna, received Krishna's mercy on his forehead. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Asura Sakal, even the demons, got the shelter of your lips. So won't you be merciful unto me? So that is the prayer of a devotee. That my Lord, you are so kind that even those who come to you with an inimical attitude, you still give them your shelter, still bestow your mercy upon them. So that, then what to speak of when one becomes a devotee of Krishna. And this point also has been very wonderfully displayed by Lord Ramchandra. When Bibhishan came, the monkeys, Sugriv and Jambavan and Angad, they all were very worried that a Rakshasa came. But although he is saying that he came to surrender to Lord Ramchandra, can we really trust him? So Bibhishan then told them
then why don't you go and ask Lord Ramchandra? So Ramchandra, they went to Ramchandra and told him about Vibhishan's approach. Then Ramchandra asked them what they thought, and all of them said, look, we cannot trust this Rakshas. And who happens to be the brother of Ravan? How can we trust him? Then finally Ramchandra told him. Actually Ramchandra asked Hanuman. Hanuman, what do you think? Hanuman said, from his gesture, from his countenance, it seems that he is serious. He came with an honest intention. Then Ramchandra said, yes. And then Ramchandra said, that if somebody comes to me, trying to cheat me, if somebody comes to me pretending to be a devotee, if somebody even comes to me with an inimical attitude but eventually surrenders unto me, then I accept. I accept even a person pretending to be a devotee and saying that I surrender unto you. I accept. Then Lord Ramchandra said, and I take care of him. Not only till the end of this life, I take care of him life after life. So this is how merciful the Lord is. And through his pastime we are seeing that even though the demons are coming to hurt him, still he is bestowing his mercy. Just by coming in contact with them, they are getting purified. Next question is, who are the gopis? Why are they called so? Who are the gopis? This question is from Prabhupada Priyadas. Who is Prabhupada Priyadas? Okay, very good. See, there are three types of gopis. Firstly, they fall in two categories. Nitya Siddha gopis and Sadhana Siddha gopis. Nitya Siddha means those who are eternally liberated associates of Krishna. In Vrindavan, they come with Krishna in his pastime. Sadhana Siddha gopis are those who have achieved their perfection by sadhana, by practice of devotional service. Now the Sadhana Siddha gopis also fall in two categories. One is Shrutichari and Rishichari. The Rishicharis are the sages of Dandakaranya, who met Lord Ramchandra and wanted to have a relationship with him in conjugal relationship. Lord Ramchandra blessed them that in his next pastime he would allow them to participate in pastime, and those rishis became the gopis. And the Shrutichari are the personified Vedas, the personified Upanishads, 108 Upanishads, achieving their perfection. The sages who mastered these Upanishads, they also achieved the good fortune of participating in Krishna's pastime, and they are also Rishicharis. Rishichari. So this is how the identities of gopis are of three kinds. Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, and in the Sadhana Siddha category, Shrutichari and Rishichari. And why they are called, next question, why they are called so? Why they are called gopis? Is that the question, why they are called gopis? Because Sanskrit word for cowherd people is gopa, and the feminine is gopi, which means female cowherd. As the time prevails, where envy, jealousy, hatred, conflict and corruption is increasing, even in families and nationwide, to establish Yuga Dharma, when our Lord Krishna will save us as he did in Govardhan. Shanti Bhushan Das, who is Krishna always gives protection to his devotees. In the age of Kali, the situation is very degraded and very dangerous. But Krishna's devotees know that under all circumstances, Krishna will give them protection. And Krishna does give them protection. Therefore, externally, how difficult the situation may be, the devotees are never worried about it. Because they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he will always give them protection. Shri Krishna, next question is in Bengali. Shri Krishna jodi purno rupe bhagoban hon jini ei prithibite obotirno hoyechilen tobe Yashoda mata tar putro Krishna chintay Narayaner puja ki korten. Yes, Narayaner puja korten tader ishtodev rupe ar Krishner proti tader sneho borshon korten. তার পুত্র নারায়ণের পূজা হতো শ্রদ্ধার ভাবে, ঐশ্বর্য সহকারে আর প্রেম সহকারে, প্রীতি সহকারে কৃষ্ণের সঙ্গে তাদের আসে। নেক্সট সাম কোয়েশ্চেন ইন হিন্দি। হরে কৃষ্ণ মহারাজজি, আপকে চরণ মে ধন্যবাদ। মহারাজ, स्वर्ग में भी जन्म मृत्यु का चक्र है तो पांचों पांडव स्वर्ग का ही रास्ता कभी चुना और किसी और सिर्फ युधिष्ठिर महाराज जी स्वर्ग को पहुंच पाए और चारों भाई रास्ते में कहां तुर हो गए। देखिए महाराज, महाराज महाभारत का विचार और भागवत का विचार में अंतर है। महाभारत का जो विचार है वो कर्मकांड का विचार है, भक्ति का विचार नहीं। इसलिए महाभारत में सही रूप से भक्त का महिमा का वर्णन नहीं। भक्त कभी स्वर्ग जाना नहीं चाहता है, भक्त के लिए स्वर्ग अत्यंत तुच्छ है। भक्त का गंतव्य होता है, भक्त का लक्ष्य होता है भगवान के धाम, भगवान के चरण कमल। उसके अलावा भक्त स्वर्गों के भी नहीं, नरक का भी कहीं भी नहीं जाना चाहते हैं। अगर जाना होता है तो सेवा के लिए जाना जाते हैं। जैसे मायापुर से भक्त लोग प्रचार के लिए अमेरिका यूरोप जाते हैं। मायापुर छोड़ने का इच्छा नहीं है, बल्कि फिर जाते हैं क्योंकि प्रचार करने की, प्रचार करने की जरूरत है। और जहाँ प्रचार है, जहाँ भगवान का वाणी का वर्णन है, जो भगवान का वाणी का प्रवचन है, पाठ कीर्तन का मौका है, वो जगह वैकुंठ से अलग है।